help us lead the way.
Tell a friend.
We are WS Radio.
WSRadio.ws.
The worldwide leader in internet talk.
This is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage, and I'm your host for Coping with Caregiving. Now stay tuned because we're going to be speaking with Mary Furlong. She's the founder and chairman of ThirdAge.com. It's a wonderful website. Mary also founded SeniorNet.com, and she is a professor at the University of San Francisco. And she's the author of numerous books on aging and technology. You're going to really enjoy meeting Mary, so stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Mary Furlong from ThirdAge.com.
Want a unique and realistic look into the world of writing and publishing? Join Writers Workshop live every Wednesday morning from 9 to 11 a.m. Bringing together writers, publishers, agents, editors, booksellers, and anyone and everyone else in the book world, Writers Workshop is here to answer your questions, offer advice and support, and inspire you on your journey from your idea to the printed page to the bestseller list. Join me, Antoinette Kuritz, and my guests as they talk about their failures, frustrations, joys, and successes. What does it really mean when an agent tells you he loves your writing, but this manuscript doesn't meet current needs? Why should you go into every bookstore you pass and autograph every copy of your book? What's the difference between a novel that's plot-driven or character-driven, and does every book need an agent? What's the difference between genres, and how do you stay out of the slush pile? How do you get published? The answers to these and countless other questions, some of them yours, will be answered on Writer's Workshop, the first interactive internet radio show for and about writers. Join us to discuss the art, craft, and business of writing.
Let me ask you a personal question. What do you do to cleanse the vital organs of your body? Don't get asked that question every day, do you? Let me quickly tell you about an amazing product called Sea Silver. Sea Silver is the most complete health product you will ever need. That is saying a lot. Let me say it again. Sea Silver is the most complete health product you will ever need. It includes all the essential vitamins and all the natural ingredients to balance your body chemistry. Sea Silver cleanses your vital organs from your stomach, liver, kidneys, spleen, bladder, small intestines, and colon by removing the toxins in your system. Sea Silver balances your metabolism and nourishes your body at the cellular level. Best of all, Sea Silver comes with a 100% money-back guarantee. That's right. If you're not feeling better within 30 days, Sea Silver will refund your money with no questions asked. To learn more or to order, simply click on Recommended Products on the bottom left side of the website under Show Categories. Just click on the Recommended Products and go to the Sea Silver link.
Are you sick and tired of watered-down talk radio?
Right back.
Listen to WS Radio. WSRadio.ws, the worldwide leader in internet talk.
Welcome back. This is Jacqueline Marcel, the author of Elder Rage, and your host for Coping with Caregiving. And now we're going to speak with Mary Furlong. She's the founder and chairman of Third Age Incorporated. Third Age is a media and marketing company that's aimed at the baby boomers age 45 to 60. I want you to look at their website. It's thirdage.com. Welcome, Mary.
Nice to be here.
Well, great. How many caregivers are there in the U.S. now?
Gee, I think there's over 35 million.
You know, I've heard as many as 54. I keep hearing different statistics. I'm like, wow, there's a lot of people caregiving. So it really has ranged. So I've heard that too, 34 to 50-something. So I think a lot of them don't want to admit that that's what they're having to do.
Yeah, I think that people are going to be caring for their aging parents longer than they care for their children. And, you know, some people are involved in caregiving as much as 20 hours a week, and other people, it's maybe an hour or two a week.
Mm-hmm. It really ranges. And I've had a lot of people not even define themselves as a caregiver, even though that's what they're doing. They go, I'm not a caregiver. I'm like, well, yeah, you are.
Right. I just had a wonderful afternoon with my mother, and that, to me, was not a caregiving experience. It was just time with my mother, and yet I feel responsible for making sure she's okay.
Of course. What do you think the biggest issues and concerns are for caregivers nowadays?
Well, I think on the part of the person who's being cared for, it's loneliness. So many people lose spouses as they get older, and they don't have that connection. and the time together that they had when they were young.
Mm-hmm.
And so there you are trying to fill up the hours in the day.
Yes. And what do you recommend for people that have lost a loved one?
Well, I recommend giving yourself time to absorb the grief and surrounding yourself by people who care for you. And frankly, not focusing so much on yourself, but on thinking about how can you be a friend or whom can you care for. Our purpose in life really comes more out of serving others than serving ourselves. And I think that's the message that really has to get out.
Mm-hmm. But how does somebody become a compassionate caregiver? You know, who are the role models for that?
Gee, some of my best friends are my role models because they make their mother laugh and they make sure she has a wonderful cooked dinner 3 or 4 nights a week, and they create adventures for her and create venues for her to share what she creates. And, you know, older people like to play cards. They like to play games. Keeping their mind active is really an important thing, and letting them make a contribution. So never have your mother or father over for dinner that you don't ask them to bring something as well. Let them cook, or have them reinforce who they are. I think if you think about who they are and when they're happiest, my mother calls herself the Goodwill Ambassador, and when she volunteers at the local senior center, even though she's 80,
wow.
She helps other people when she's there, and I know that's the happiest day of her week because she's engaged in helping others. And I don't think there are a lot of role models for really good care. It used to be when someone was sick, we brought them into our home and we nurtured them through the illnesses. And I don't see that happening. And it's partly economic, I think, because people are working so hard these days. They're stressed.
Yeah, there's just so much for everybody to do, isn't there? We've got all this new technology and we're working longer and harder. How did that happen? I don't know. Where do you think we're headed? What do you think caregiving is going to look like in the year 2010?
Well, there's going to have to be a revolution in caregiving. First of all, those of us as we get older, I'm going to be 54 soon.
You're young. You're very, very young. I was just a couple years behind you yesterday.
Well, we have to walk an hour a day in order to stay fit ourselves. And the nation can ill afford a group of people that are overweight and not energetic. And so vitality and involvement are the keys to longevity.
Absolutely.
And fitness and spirituality and purpose. So we have to make those themes become part of our everyday life. And I think that we have to assume that if we stay engaged and contribute and give, then we're going to have a happy time in the next phase of our life, because the young people today, unless we become role models, I don't see them wanting to take care of us.
Yes, and we don't have enough of them for the 78 million baby boomers.
Right.
Who's going to care for us?
Right.
We better take good care of ourselves now.
And I think that the other exogenous shock that's going to happen is that, well, we might have figured out caregiving solutions for our children when we were raising them and women were in the workforce. And to some extent, I think people are beginning to think about caregiving solutions for their parents. I think the part that nobody is ready for are the siblings. So when you have a sibling that loses their job or has a health condition and you end up being responsible for them,
that point is
a whole other area. And so leading a life that you begin to start caring for yourself now is important. And then thinking about who you're going to care for. And beyond that, most of us want to live to be 100 and be quite independent.
Well, otherwise, yeah, none of us want to spend the last 20 years in a nursing home, that's for sure. So we've got to keep ourselves healthy as we can now so that we, for sure, don't have to rely on a population that isn't going to be large enough to care for all of us.
And I think the secret is exploring your passions. And so if you loved watercolors when you were young, pick them up again. And if you loved writing or poetry or horses or gardening or whatever, that's the time to figure out, to discern what's the mosaic, what's the portfolio of your interests that are going to be important as you get older.
And my mom would always say, you know, accomplishment, that happiness comes from accomplishing something. So whether it is taking a class and accomplishing a new craft or a new thing that you learn to do, or you, and helping and volunteering. And so many of the volunteers that are with hospice or Meals on Wheels or the Alzheimer's Association or any of these wonderful organizations, so many of the volunteers are seniors and elders themselves.
Yeah.
And they come and they're just darling. And they're like, you know, I get more out of it than they do. I just, I'm giving back. I feel like I'm accomplishing something important. And it keeps them going.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, I can't say enough about volunteering when you get out there. And even if, you know, you go volunteer to answer phones for a telethon or, gosh, you know, just start looking around. You will find opportunities. People say, sure, come on over and peel potatoes for our luncheon we're having for the homeless. Absolutely.
Sure, and if you look at Third Age and you go online, there's forums you can engage in participate in. And I think we underestimate the amount of stress that's involved with caregiving. Caregiving is a 24-hour job. If you're caring for a partner with cancer or a parent with Alzheimer's, that's not a short-term thing. And when our children are 3 and 5, people stop and say, what a darling child you have. No one does that when you're caring for an elderly relative.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is that mobility is an issue because people don't always live close. And we don't know exactly how long we're going to be caring for them.
That's so true. When I was doing with Mom and Dad, I was 5 years into it. I said, my gosh, this could go another 10 years.
Right.
And it's 24/7, and it's always over my shoulder.
That's why you need to discern what the respite opportunities for you are. You know, how will you get restored and re-energized and revitalized? And
give us some ways that caregivers can keep from burning out. What are some specifics they could do?
You know, certainly I've seen people through SeniorNet and through Third Age who go online and play games or play crossword puzzles. And I find reading very therapeutic, and so spirituality, reading is a very nice thing to make you feel better. One of my favorite caregiving stories is a woman in New York whose husband was an executive, and he ended up with Alzheimer's, and he was up all the time, and she couldn't both keep her job and keep up with him. So she hired actresses who were Irish to come in and entertain her husband. And he played bridge and laughed all night. And
a lovely thing.
I thought that was the most wonderful story. And so I think you want to get deeply engaged and also make sure that the caregiver, that person being cared for, has some time off. And, you know, don't underestimate the power of a greeting card or a phone call or a photograph or a funny story. And the only line that got a standing ovation at the White House Conference on Aging was, older people need a vision of the future, not just a memory of the past.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's true with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And I like to think that their next act is their best act. And music, even for Alzheimer's patients, music can be incredibly therapeutic.
Yes.
Clay can be incredibly therapeutic.
I heard an idea for the Alzheimer's patients, because sometimes they will put the clay in their mouth or their paints in their mouth. Let them paint with pudding, chocolate pudding.
Great
let them make
idea.
With, because, you know, different color pudding, if they put in their mouth,
yeah.
Who cares?
Mm-hmm.
They had a great time with it.
I think the real essence is to view caregiving as a gift and a privilege, much like parenting. And if someone is going to let you in at a time in their life when they're vulnerable, what a gift you have to treat them as a loving person.
Yes, you know, and my best friend went over to see my mom, because she was our campfire girl leader, my mom was, and so Linda came over, and my mom would always make these chocolate chip cookies, you know, And she got a recipe, and they sat there, and they made chocolate chip cookies together. And that supplied a visitor for the half hour. And, you know, her long-term memory was right there. They reminisced about the bluebirds and the campfire girls and making the chocolate chip cookies and all the slumber parties I had. And, you know, it was just lovely. It was something when she said, is there anything I can do? I said, yes, you can go make chocolate chip cookies with my mom. And she said, I'd love to. So ask your friends, you know, everybody pitch in and just ask them to do a task that may take just a few hours of their time, and it can really give the caregiver a break for that those few hours, mm-hmm. and really help that loved one remember things from the past as well.
I think also video games are mm-hmm. very stimulating, and I've seen them used effectively in nursing homes, and so I think there's a whole opportunity there as well.
Yeah, Nintendo and the PlayStation and all mm-hmm. those, that mm-hmm. they can play with those, and there's a lot of places now where they're teaching the seniors with computer.
Right.
And that's just great. So there are things that can be done. What else will people find on Third Age? I want to make sure everybody gets going and gets familiar with
the site. Well, Third Age is a wonderful place to find resources and information on health, on connection and friendship, on love and romance. One of the most exciting parts is our personals, and you can go in there and meet someone else. And we have lots of resources in our caregiving area that give people tools to understand their situation. And we have forums where people go in and talk to one another about these issues, and chat rooms.
I really try to encourage people to try the chat rooms and try the, you know, getting online and asking questions and online support groups. And once they get, I guess it's a fear factor, and then once they start and they get going with it, a lot of them get really hooked on it.
Right. I think what people don't realize is that as people get older, they have more time to spend, and they'd rather spend it engaged rather than passive. So television is a passive medium. Online is an active medium, and I think there are walking after midnight rooms where people come from around the world to talk and chat on thirdage.com.
Well, it's a great website, and you've got a couple of my articles on there. Well, thank you very much for putting those up. And we've got about a minute left. Anything you would like people to know? Anything else that you're doing? Or?
Well, I think that we have to redefine the word care. And I think each of us needs to think about, who are we caring for? How are we caring for them? And how do we want to be known as a caregiver? It should be part of our identity.
Yeah, they say, you know, what is it, one out of every three of us? Is that the right statistic, Mary? One out of three will be a caregiver? Something
absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely. I think at least that. And then I think it's like equity in the bank. If you don't contribute, there's not going to be anybody there to help you.
And, you know, your kids are watching you, how you're treating your parents or your sick siblings. So that you're training them how they're going to take care of you.
I think that's absolutely true.
So you might want to build good karma.
And, you know, I think build community, too. I mean, what ThirdAge.com does so well is creates a sense of community, and I think community can be online and offline, and as you get older, you need to think about what community you're in.
Right. Oh, Mary, such an honor to have you on.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for being with us. That was Mary Furlong with Third Age, and I hope you'll check out ThirdAge.com. Now, this is Jacqueline Marcel, your host for Coping with Caregiving, and stay tuned because coming up next, we are going to be speaking with Nancy London, and she's a fabulous author who's written some books she's going to tell us about. And the first one, she'll tell you all about it, Hot Flashes. Here we go.
Help us lead the way.
Tell a friend.
We are WS Radio.
WS Radio.WS.
The worldwide leader in Internet talk.
The Fly Mike Company has designed and manufactured sportswear clothing since the early days of paragliding and hang gliding. A German firm, the Fly Mike, got its start in innovation from hands-on paragliding pilot Mike Lieberman. Cold alpine winter flying demanded a functional and affordable flight suit. Today, the Fly Mike Flight Suit Company is one of the major suppliers to worldwide paragliding and hang gliding pilots seeking affordable and value-oriented flight suits, jackets, and sports apparel. For warmth, comfort, and protection, make your next flight with Fly Mike.